In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Mother of the Word Incarnate, Saint Joseph, Saint Luke, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate St. Luke, the evangelist, who has written for us, of course, the gospel attributed to him. And of course, being an evangelist and being a gospel writer, he had the special grace of being, you know, guided by the Holy Spirit when he wrote the words of the gospel. And even as much, or, you know, we see how much the Gospel of Luke, being the inspired Word of God, has done so much to move hearts and minds of men. It reflects, they say, the preaching of St. Paul, since he was a companion of St. Paul. It shows us that St. Paul's preaching must have included in it a big emphasis, of course, on the relationship of Our Lady and Our Lord, and the importance of, and St. Paul's preaching of, calling to mind the reality of the Incarnation, that the Son of God became man, became a child of Mary. This had to be an important part of the gospel because it's essential to the gospel. Why do we proclaim the good news? What is the good news? That Jesus became man. He became a son of Mary in becoming a son of man. And we find this reality to be, in one sense, so plain and clear to us, because the first gospel that was ever preached was the gospel that God proclaimed to our first parents in the garden after they fell. When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, and they went and hid themselves in the garden, God went searching for him and said, you know, found him in the, and finally gave to Adam his penance, gave penance to Eve, and then God prophesied to the serpent, "I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between her seed and yours. You shall strike at her heel, and she shall crush your head." And this passage, Genesis 3:15, has always been known throughout the ages as the Proto-Evangelium. The Proto-Evangelium means in Greek the first gospel, the first good news that was proclaimed to us, to the people, to our first parents, was the woman and her seed in conflict with the devil and his brood, and that she would crush his head. And St. Luke, maybe even as much as his writings have brought clearly, you know, the message of the gospel to us, probably another thing that is attributed to St. Luke may be just as effective and maybe just as important as the other thing that he did. He didn't do it with parchment, but he did it on wood, and that was all the many icons of Our Lady that are attributed to him, because obviously these icons reflect so clearly what he wrote in his gospel, the relationship between the mother and the son, and the importance of this woman to all of Christians, to all Christians. They say that a icon is not painted but written, and St. Luke, in his icons, probably they say a picture is worth a thousand words. And the many icons attributed to him, whether it be Salus Populi Romani in Santa Maria Maggiore, or the icon of Our Lady of Częstochowa, or all the others that are attributed to him, they all proclaim in a very tender way and in a very appealing way what he's written in his gospel, that the woman and her son are central to our lives. And we can see that you know, in many ways, the icon of Our Lady of Częstochowa has probably done so much to evangelize a people just by this miraculous image. Because in one sense, the miracles are attributed to it because God is trying to show that this image has a supernatural origin. It has a grace attached to it. It's not like just any painting. It is painted by someone who has experienced the mystery of this woman and this child, and that they have portrayed in a very mystical way this message to all of us. You know, that St. Luke, he's the only one that writes in the gospel the infancy narratives. And it's obvious that St. Luke had to have interviewed Our Lady in order to get that information. It was so intimate, that knowledge, that only the person who was there at the Annunciation, and the only one that was at the Annunciation he could have interviewed, was Our Lady. And you might say that it's only fitting that St. Luke should have so many icons of Our Lady and, our, you know, with the child Jesus attributed to him, because I don't think that anyone who has had any kind of contact like that, a close encounter of the first kind with Our Lady, would not come away with being so touched by it that he would forever want to portray her image, want to continue to recreate that encounter with Our Lady and the message that she brought to him by giving him the account of the infancy narratives. So that in his icons that St. Luke has painted, he has left us a picture gospel in ways that the words cannot describe. He has left us the central message of the gospel, that the woman and the child are essential, and that they are truly the focus of all that is being preached. All that the church has preached throughout the ages can be all brought back to Genesis 3:15. And that this woman and the seed, the woman and her seed, are going to be victorious over the devil and his brood. We see that so clearly today, and we can have continued confidence that Our Lady and her son will always be victorious over all the evils that face us in our world today. We have to have that same confidence and that same kind of trust and that same kind of filial abandonment into the hands of Our Lady that St. Luke portrays in all the many icons attributed to him. So today, as we honor St. Luke, let us pray in a special way that, you know, we may grasp the mystery of the Genesis 3:15, the first gospel, and that others who have not yet understood this, especially our Protestant brothers and sisters who seem to want to cut Our Lady out of the picture, that they don't have the whole gospel. You know, if you look at any picture of Our Lady and Our Lord and you try to cut it out, you know, cut Our Lady out of the picture, it's incomplete. And that's the same with the gospel. If it doesn't include Our Lady, it doesn't really have, it's not the whole picture. Let us pray that we may, you know, grasp also this relationship that is portrayed in all of his many icons, that we want to be like Jesus, remain forever in the motherly embrace of Our Lady, in the church, which is an extension of Our Lady's motherly embrace, that the church is our mother, and we must have confidence in Our Lady's and in the church, that the church will always be victorious over its enemies, and we must be faithful and loyal sons to our heavenly mother and to our earthly mother, Holy Mother Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.